things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to Week 2 edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
Where the Packers took it on the chin in Atlanta, losing to the Falcons 24-25. And what makes it even a little more bitter to swallow is that the loss comes after having a 12-point fourth quarter lead. And that the latter part of the game, things just kind of fell apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you blow a double-digit lead in the fourth, that's always kind of a bitter taste in your mouth afterwards. How did you feel after the result?
I hate seeing it go that way, but, on a big 10,000-foot view, I felt that I'm still liking what I'm seeing from Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. Hate seeing that our his number one running back, his number one left tackle, and his number one wideout weren't playing.
Guard went down with an injury. Yeah,
and that was before the first half, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look at it that way. They've got a really good defense. They're fast. Mm-hmm. we really struggled on the line. Really struggled. How about you?
I felt okay about it. It felt like we were going to win the game up until the fourth quarter. Obviously, yep, it felt like we were not necessarily in control or a dominant team, but that we had a cushion that would get us to a victory. It felt like it's a young team kind of thing to just fade away in the fourth quarter, and we couldn't move the ball barely at all in the fourth quarter. We couldn't get the defensive stops we needed after everything else had been kind of clicking all game. So I think that's the young team kind of showing through there.
I feel like I put it on my notes too, that I feel like the defense was starting to get pretty gassed in the second half there, the fourth quarter. We couldn't get our running game going. They did, big time. But in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Packers offense failed to complete a pass or gain a first down on offense in the fourth quarter, while the Falcons got three straight scoring drives. So, that's hard. That's tough.
It is hard. We only got positive yards on 3 out of our 9 plays on offense in the fourth quarter. We had 6 incompletions, and then A.J. Dillon, who just decided to run right into the first guy who wanted to tackle him.
Yeah, some of that, I don't know if it's Dillon, all Dillon. Is it some of the play calling? They want to keep doing the same plays?
I'm starting to think it's Dillon.
Okay.
We've had more than a year to see this now, and I think there's this narrative around him with the commentators. They always talk about, no one wants to try to bring this guy down. He's a truck. He's just one of those old school bruisers who will run through anyone, always get you 4 to 5 yards. And that's always what they're talking about. And I think they see his quads and his thighs and they go, well, that must be how he plays, because that's not what we see. We see 2 yards of carry. We see him run into the first guy who's defending him and typically go down. We don't see him drag a guy for another couple of yards. We don't see him break through a couple tackles and keep running for, maybe his first 3 or 4 games as a Packer we saw it, but we have not since.
That's exactly what I was going to say. This isn't the old, this would be crazy if he's breaking down already, but you don't know. He could very well be a system guy. He needs that dual back thing so you can kind of mix things up a little bit. I don't know, but
I think he just doesn't know where to run with it. Like if you ever played Madden, the players' ratings, you have things like ball carrying, strength, trucking ability, like running through guys, things like that. And then one of them is vision, which is their ability to find holes and stuff. I think his vision's at a 1 out of 100.
Oh, man.
Or close, because it's like you always have those bruisers that, especially back in the day, you know, it's like they're looking for contact. They want someone to run through. He's looking for the guy, but he does not run through.
Yeah, I know. I know. And they know if they hit those thighs, he's going down. They know how to tackle him. And it's actually some of the smaller guys will bring him down. It's crazy. He's mm-hmm. like twice their size, and then they just get in there and make him stumble and he falls.
And when it's like go ahead.
It reminds me of, I think it was freshman year in high school, excuse me. We had a guy, he's one of those people you hate, because he was good in baseball, football, basketball. He was a good student. He was good looking. Yeah, just hate him. But for all I know, he's probably touring the country doing something cool. But he was a running back, and when we would get him, you know, I played offensive line, we'd get him a huge hole. He'd start running. There'd be one guy left, and they're trying to figure out how they're going to stop him. And he'd just run right at him. He had the whole field. That's how I feel with AJ sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
he seems like the guy you want on 3rd and 1, 4th and 1.
Mm-hmm.
But that has not been the case.
No. Well, you want some good news?
Let's talk good news.
Everyone else in the NFC North lost as well. So, hey.
I know. I was pretty excited. I thought we were going to be the only NFC North team with a win.
Oh,
until the end of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to be like, oh, this is going to be a great week on the podcast. They all lost. We won. But no, we all lost. So, I guess if we're going to lose a game, at least everyone else in the division lost as well. I mean, Minnesota and Chicago still looking for that first win.
Yeah.
After two games.
We'll talk about it later, but I think the Vikings might get theirs this week.
Okay.
I think the tone was set for the day, I think, when we got the benefit of a 44-yard pass interference call in the beginning, and we didn't score. And then we got a delay of the game penalty, so it negated a chance at a field goal, so we had to punt it. And then Rasul Douglas intercepted Desmond Ridder on the next drive, and the Packers didn't score again. You know, it's just stuff like that you really can't do when you're playing on the road, let alone at home. And, of course, the defense led a 211 yards. I watched the highlights today, and it hurt as bad today as it did watching the game.
It was rough. 211 yards just rushing.
Yep.
Yes. And that's kind of the frustrating thing. No one in the NFL or NFL fandom even is confused by what the plan is for the Falcons. They've been trying to implement this for years, where they run the ball and they wear you down by the end of the game. So we knew that's what they were going to do. Joe Barry, for sure, knew that's what they were going to do. And I know we don't have a ton of tape on Bijan Robinson yet, because we have one game's worth. But we know that that's their guy, that they're going to try to just feed the ball. And it didn't feel like we did anything to take him away as a weapon. He had 19 carries, 124 yards, 4 catches, 48 yards. So 172 yards total. When you know he's their main weapon, is pretty bad that we did nothing to kind of adjust.
All right. And again, I hope we don't have another full season of us talking about our defense and our defensive coordinator.
I know. A whole season of look at all this talent we have on defense and they can't figure it out.
Yeah. You know, when Jero was over, they came over to watch the game, and it would be Sean's sister, my daughter, Jenny, and her fiance, Errol. And when the game came on, he just started laughing so hard at the look of the head coach for Atlanta. he said it's got to be the worst mustache he has ever seen.
I could see that. I could see that. Arthur Smith, right?
Yep.
Yeah. He
look it up
seems
sometime.
Like an interesting guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't look like a head football coach.
Can I talk about a couple highlights?
Please.
Positive notes. Number one is we are two games into the season and no turnovers. No interceptions, yeah. No fumbles. That's a big one for a young team.
Mm-hmm. That'll
keep us in a lot of games that maybe we don't quite measure up to the other team if we can not turn it over.
Right.
Another big one is Jaden Reed continuing to look good as a rookie. He had 4 receptions, 37 yards, 2 touchdowns. And then Dontavian Wicks, another rookie receiver, 2 catches for 40 yards and a touchdown. So 3 touchdowns to rookie receivers. Again, we had no Christian Watson with the hamstring injury. Hope we get him back soon. But it's good to see that we have a little bit of depth, even if they're young guys, because we had no idea what this wide receiver room looked like going into the season, how these rookies were going to look. And I mean, Jaden Reed now, through 2 weeks, is 1 catch and 10 yards behind what Amari Rodgers had in his whole Packers career.
Well, how about, since we're doing the good news, we got it's love good news. Love train.
Gotta love it.
Well, train. Let's see. In his first 2 starts, he has now completed 29 of 52 passes for 396 yards, 6 touchdowns, and no interceptions. That gives him a passer rating of 118.8. And the Packers have scored the 2nd most points through 2 weeks of the NFL season with 62 points. Mm. Those Cowgirls are number 1 at 70. So that's good.
They look good. That is all very good. That's awesome to hear. I know he currently, through 2 games, has the highest average passer rating in the league.
So that's great.
Not too bad. I think passer rating hides some things and highlights some others that shouldn't be like the main thing we measure a quarterback by, but it is the metric that we have to go by. They always try to do the QBR, where it's, I think, 70 is the highest.
Okay.
It never makes a lick of sense to me. I'll see QBR, they were 62. I think that's supposed to be good. <It's> hard to know.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, our offense in general, besides that 4th quarter, looked pretty good. We had back-to-back touchdown drives to open the 2nd half. Offense marched 65 yards for a score on the 1st drive of the 3rd quarter. On the next possession, 78 yards in 4 plays, making it 24-12 entering the 4th quarter. We talked about how that went, but like you said, we're looking good. We're scoring points with young guys. We're moving the ball for the most part, and it's exciting. We did have a 51-yard field goal that we opted not to attempt, which seems odd when we've attempted longer ones already last week outdoors, right, when this was inside.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't.
That was strange. And when you lose by 1 point, it's a little bit of a salt in the wound that you didn't even attempt the field goal.
Right. Well, just to touch on the 2 big injuries that we alluded to in the beginning of the podcast. By the way, we're recording on Tuesday, and I think I failed to mention it on our first one, so forgive me. First thing, when we did have some drop passes, and I think we had 2 interceptions that were dropped that would have really helped the game. So
Jair Alexander overall kind of had a bad game.
Yeah,
he did. Every time he was targeted, it was a completion, and he dropped that interception, and yeah, not a great game for Alexander. One to forget.
Our classic Mustang couldn't make it out of the garage this Sunday. Bakhtiari, he said he had swelling on his knee, and some people are saying that maybe it's just he didn't want to play on that artificial turf, but they're saying this is an ongoing issue that goes back to his 2020 torn ACL, but who knows?
Yeah, that's the problem with classic cars. They're always in the shop. Sometimes they don't start when you need them.
And they leak.
But they're pretty great when they're out there.
That's right. Yeah. And then we mentioned Elgton Jenkins. He is expected to miss multiple weeks with his knee injury. And apparently, he was diagnosed with a sprained MCL. It's the same knee he had torn ACL that ended the 21 season. Yeah. And word is that from Jenkins that A.J. Dillon fell on his leg. Mm-hmm. And since they're playing on artificial turf, he wasn't able to spin. You hear this all the time. He's not able to move his foot. It sticks into turf. And that's how he hurt his knee. So it's like, but it's safe to play on.
It's safe.
Nothing
There's
to
no,
see here.
No problems. I'm hoping it's not too bad. MCL sprain, was it? Or strain, you said? Sprain or strain?
Sprain.
Sprain. So that's a little worse. But it's not a tear or anything like that. We have week 6 bye. So we have 3 games. And then maybe he can come back after the bye. 5 weeks to recover.
That's such a huge blow to lose both of them.
It wouldn't work for us in 5 weeks after spraining our MCL. But I think an NFL lineman might be able to do it.
Well, yeah, obviously they're just a wee bit better conditioned than we are. But what was I going to tell you about? I'm having a hard time keeping track. I kind of just threw everything up in an email and said myself. you mentioned Jaden Reed. Yeah, I think it pretty much covered everything. I know the only thing is talking about the next game coming up. But
yeah. One thing I wanted to talk about, we made a big deal last week out of third down and fourth down conversions on offense and how we've been wanting that to improve for so long. It looked good. We were 3 out of 10 on third or fourth down this game. So we regressed a bit, but maybe that's what happens when you're not playing the Bears.
That's right. And, oh, I know what I was going to tell
you. Okay. The other end of that, though, the Falcons converted 9 times on third or fourth down. This
wow.
game,
what was
we
it?
Could not stop them when we needed to.
Out of how many?
I forgot to write that part down.
Okay.
I can.
But it still came down. So I think it was like 2 minutes. Jordan Love got the ball.
Mm-hmm.
All we needed was to kick a field goal, but he didn't complete one pass.
You mean at the end of the game?
Yep.
I think. Okay, so this was really weird. I wanted to talk about this. I'm glad this got brought up. So you remember it was 4th and 1, 4th and short. They could kick the field goal, and we'd have about a minute and a half, minute 45 left for Jordan Love. And they went for it instead. They
sorry, but Sean just had a cat jump in his face.
I got a tail in my mouth. Well, I'm trying to talk. So they went for it on 4th and 1, instead of kicking the goal-ahead field goal when they're down by 1 at the very end of the game. And then we stop them again. They kick the field goal. Jordan Love gets the ball back with like 36 seconds, I think it is. And we couldn't make it work. However, they kept talking in the game how gutsy of a play, how ballsy it was to go for it on 4th and 1 when you're down by 1 with a very manageable field goal to waste more time. Almost like you're playing Aaron Rodgers, can't give him the ball back, right? I think it was a mistake.
I do too.
You saw Arthur Smith all of a sudden right before the ball snapped, he puts his hands on his head. He looked completely panicked on his face, like just sheer panic, nothing scripted. Just that's how he reacted in the moment. I think he thought it was 3rd down.
Oh,
I think he thought it was 3rd and 1. Run one more play. Doesn't matter if we get it, then we're going to kick it. Because the second he saw the ball was snapped, you saw him glance up and then go put his hands on like the full Home Alone. What's his name? Macaulay Culkin. Yeah. Did the full Home Alone thing. I think he thought it was 3rd and 1 and it worked out for him.
Yeah, it did. Big way.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine if they would have lost? They'd be like, what were you doing?
I know. But that's my theory about that.
Okay.
It did work out. We did not have much time. 36 seconds with no timeouts is a lot to ask of your first year starter.
Yes, that's for sure.
But
okay.
Other than that, I think I'm also about tapped out on this game. I'm still very optimistic about this year. I feel good about where we're at this early on with these young of guys. And I feel pretty good about where Love is at.
I think I feel better where Love is at than the other guys. But
the other guys? That makes sense.
I think that the fact that we don't have anybody in the division that's taking off, and we're trying to find our footing, and so then you end up playing catch up. Hopefully we can make a wild card kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we don't, all the games are tough, even when you don't think they're going to be. And it's going to be interesting. Do you have any more stats you want to cover, or is that, are we good with that?
No, I'm pretty good with that. I was surprised when I looked before we started the recording here that we play the Saints next week. I thought next week was the game against the Lions.
So did I. I think they changed.
You think they changed it? After the season started, they're like, hey, let me quick swap these.
Right.
No
right.
one will notice. So we play the Saints, and then week four is the Lions at Lambeau on Thursday Night Football.
Okay, so we play the Lions twice on Thursday then, because we play them on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. But let's talk a little bit before we get into picks and game ball. Saints at Packers, home opener for the season. Yeah. Jordan Love going to get some love at Lambeau.
Yeah, they're playing. The Saints are 2-0, and they are also a team that is ranked 27th in the run stopping, and that they're averaging 5.0 yards per rush this year. So let's see if old Thunder Thighs can do a little bit better.
They're averaging 5 yards a rush that they give up on defense?
Yeah.
Okay. What do we know about the Aaron Jones injury?
I haven't heard anything new.
I haven't heard much at all.
It's just odd to me that he couldn't play when he said during the or after the game that he could have gone back in if they needed.
I never believed that though. I didn't think he really could have, because it did not look good. And any kind of hamstring strain, like from what I've seen over the years in the NFL, you need to let that fully heal, because otherwise it becomes a big hamstring injury if you try playing with it.
Yeah.
I was trying to look quick if I see any quick updates on his injury, but nothing really. So maybe he's just week to week as far as we know right now.
Before we get into the game ball, which you have, right? You have it figured out.
You have the ball. I have who we're giving it to.
Okay. So you want to do that before we just get into the scores from the game and games coming up?
We can. I wanted to kind of just get your feelings on the Saints Packers game.
Well, we'll do the picks. You'll find out. But I'm hoping that we can figure out some issues that to help with our, because our players are, you know, getting nicked up. It's only the second game and we're losing people big time.
Yeah.
So if we can get past that, I think we got this. I think we can win this game.
Saints haven't looked bad. They're 2-0. Derek Carr has looked good under center for them.
Mm-hmm.
They have some weapons. I think Chris Olave, he's on the Saints, right? The wide receiver.
Yeah.
I think so. So they definitely have weapons. I think it's really going to come down to, I think we'll be able to move the ball, like you said. Jordan Love is going to get yards in the passing game. I think it comes down to, just like the Falcons game, we need our defense to have some kind of consistency.
If we can get a freaking run game so we can give our defense some time on the bench so they're not gassed by the fourth quarter.
Yeah, a run game. And then on defense, we need to be stopping those third down conversions, fourth down conversions, and getting off the field. Like you said, it's kind of too much defense on the field. But I'm optimistic about this one. I think it's going to be a tough game. I think it'll be a tougher opponent than the Falcons were, even though the Falcons are also 2-0 now. But I think it's winnable. And then playing the Lions is going to be tough.
Yeah, it is. It is. I saw something. I think it was the Saints have got a good defense, but I don't know. You look at what they're giving up on the run. Maybe that's just an aberration right now because it's only two games. But but they're supposed to be pretty good. And Carr said that's one of the reasons why he wanted to go to the Saints, was because he knew that if he had a bad game like he just did, that the defense could keep him in the game. So
perfect. All right. You ready for the game ball?
Yes. And now it's time for the game ball.
Congratulations, rookie wide receiver Jaden Reed. He only ran 18 routes in the game, but turned that into 4 receptions and 2 touchdowns. And he looks fast.
Looks
that
fast.
That first touchdown he scored, I was like, I did not think he'd get around the defenders, and he just kind of went whoop right into the end zone.
I love it. On his second touchdown, that big smile on his face. He was loving life, man. That's yeah, congratulations. You done good, kid.
Welcome to Green Bay. Green Bay, as the commentators would say.
I don't know how they can't get that figured out, but
I think it's just become the norm. I wanted to maybe look at somewhere on defense, since I feel like we normally go offense, but I didn't have anyone that stuck out in this one.
The only one I thought was doing pretty good, Kenny Clark. I mean, I think he had 1.5 sacks, maybe.
Quay Walker looked good. He had 11 solo tackles, 8 assisted tackles, and 4 pressures with a QB hit, 4 run stops, 1 pass breakup with a near interception. Never missed a tackle. He was going to be my second pick. He looks good. He looks fast. That's 2 really good games for him now this year.
Absolutely.
Alrighty then. Do you want me to do a quick recap? And then you
on the picks,
any other games you want to talk about?
Yeah, I want to go over real quick on the Vikings lost to the Eagles 34-28. That puts them at 0-2. excuse me, 'tis the season for allergies. Seahawks over the Lions 37-31. I didn't see any of that game, but I really thought the Lions were going to be able to pull that off. But you know, it's hard to know what you have in the Seahawks. And then there was one other. Chiefs snuck out a game against Jaguars 17-9. And then the Bears lost to the Buccaneers, so they're 0-2. Did you see that? You know, the Giants in their first game, they lost like 40-0 to Dallas. Mm-hmm. And now they're playing that juggernaut, also known as the Arizona Cardinals, and they just eked it out. 31-28.
I think they were losing like 0-20 at the half. So they'd been outscored like 60-0 at that point. And but man, what a second half. That was I saw I think the fourth quarter of that game.
Okay.
It was crazy.
Have you heard the cries of the Rams kicking that field goal at the end for no reason? And all it did was upset all the bettors. Because
who cares?
They couldn't win. They couldn't win with the field goal. And so their people are like, no, man, that tells you how ingrained the gambling community is now into the NFL.
Oh, is that why people were upset? It messed up the spread?
Yep, exactly.
Oh, gosh. Who cares? I miss the old days of you remember the just nasty head coach rivalries you would hear about where it's like, asking Tom Landry after the game, oh, why'd you go for 2 at the end when you were already up by 20 points? And, oh, because we couldn't go for 3. Yeah, you know, all that I want that. I want these coaches to just want to destroy each other, not play nice.
You want to bring back Bounty Gate?
Well, not quite that. Not quite the Bounty Gate. I just want the gamesmanship between the coaches.
So I told Arrow, I said, did you ever see any video of when back in the 80s, the Bears and Packers rivalry was just insane? And a couple of the Packer defensive linemen wrote down Bear players' numbers, like, we got your number. And if I remember right, that game, one of the Packer players picked up Jim McMahon and slammed him down on the turf on his head, if I remember right. But those were rivalries, man. That's when football was football. None exactly. of this pansiness on anymore.
Yeah. No, we need some more hard-hitting rivalries. Because it feels a little different in the NFC North with no Rodgers. It feels like no one quite knows how to feel about their relationship. Everyone weirdly is cheering for the Lions, even though they don't want to. All right. Should I go through our picks here? I'll do a quick recap. Week 2 picks. All right. We both took the Eagles to beat the Vikings and were correct. We both thought the Lions would beat the Seahawks. We were wrong. We both knew the Bears would mess it up against the Buccaneers. We were correct. We thought the Packers would beat the Falcons. We were both wrong. Both thought the Dolphins would beat the Pats. We got that one. We both picked the Saints over the Panthers because the Panthers might not win a game this year. Well, the only game we differed on, Browns at Steelers. I took the Browns. You took the Steelers. Steelers win it. And 26-22 on the second game of Monday Night Football. So going into week 3, Mike is up by 1.
Yay. Here
Yay.
Comes the trophy again.
That's right. We need a traveling trophy. All right. So week 3, I'll let you start since you're up. Giants at 49ers for Thursday Night Football.
49ers.
49ers, and I will take the 49ers. They look good this year. Brock Purdy looks good.
They are deep, man.
They have a lot of depth and a lot of talent, especially on offense. Falcons at Lions.
I'm going to say the Lions get it right.
The Lions. All right. Yeah, I'm going to take the Lions. I want to take the Falcons, but I really feel like the Lions got this one. Chargers at Vikings. Another noon game, just like the Lions.
I'll say the Vikings get their first win.
Oh, boy. I'm going to pick the Chargers, but it does not feel good. Chargers, feels like every game, they keep it very close. It comes down to the final play, and they find a way to like seize defeat from the claws of victory.
That clinch.
Exactly. They find more unique ways to lose than I've ever seen. So I got Chargers, you got Vikings, then we have another noon game for the NFC North, Saints at Packers.
Yeah, like I told you, I think the Packers will get this one. So it's a pretty big deal, that first home game of the year. And so hopefully we can put the green and gold back in limbo.
So I picked against the Packers 3 times last year, and we won every game. So I think I'm going Saints.
Okay.
Yeah, I want that Packers win at home. So I'm going to do my best to help out.
You're taking one for the team, are you?
Bears at Chiefs. The only NFC North game not at noon. That's a 3:25 game, Central Time.
I would say
Bears at Chiefs.
Chiefs.
You don't want to pick the Bears in this one? But they've been looking so good.
Well, I feel bad for any Chiefs fans if you lose to the Bears.
Yeah. I mean, they lost to the Lions. Maybe they just don't like the NFC North.
I saw some stat. I can't remember the specifics of it, but it was talking about Justin Fields and how last year he led the league in sacks. It was like 50 plus for the season. And he is back to, because they fixed it all in the offseason. He is now on track to do, I think it's like 85 sacks this year if he keeps getting them as much as he is.
Did you see that all 22 video they released from this last weekend?
No.
Of Justin Fields? So, you know, the all 22 is when they show behind the quarterback what they can see on the field with the receivers as the play develops. So there's a play where you look at the normal broadcast footage and Fields looks like no one's open. He's going to try to step up and run out the front of the pocket, but it kind of just collapses and he gets sacked. They show the all 22. His receiver on the left does an out route completely open, no one within 15 yards of him.
Oh, no.
His receiver on the right, no one within 10 yards as they do a little curl. His two receivers in the middle, one is kind of covered. The other one does a post route into the end zone with no one within 15 yards. No one just a wide open touchdown pass. Instead, Fields pulls down the ball. There's a big gap to the right of the middle of the line, and he runs straight into the back of his lineman instead and falls down.
I love it.
I would not want to be a Bears fan.
Oh, man. And that's, if he doesn't come out of this funk, I mean, that's set you back 5-10 years as a franchise. You know, you've got to try and figure out how you can get another one.
I don't think this is a funk. I think this is what they got out of Justin Fields.
This is it, huh?
This is the Justin Fields experience, whether you like it or not. He'll run. He'll have some good runs for you. But when it comes to passing the ball in those big moments where he needs to throw it and be clutch, I don't think that's him. I don't think he has it in him.
Speaking of quarterbacks, did you hear they're trying to start a new rumor of the next quarterback for the Jets?
Mm-mm. You mean for this season or next season?
Yep.
For this season. Tim Tebow?
That's not a bad name.
I was trying to think of just like, be the wildest story? Tim
Kirk
Tebow coming
Cousins.
Out of really? Like a mid-season trade with the Vikes, huh?
I believe it's just people trying to stir up some stuff. And
dude, then they send Rodgers' contract to the Vikings for next season. Right. And then it all comes full circle.
Hey, did we finish up the...
Nope, we got sidetracked. We have Steelers at Raiders, the Sunday night game. Steelers at Raiders.
I'll go with Steelers.
Yes, that's a tough one. I think they're evenly matched and kind of similar in how they play. I'm going to go Raiders. I'll take the home team. The Raiders. And all right, then we have two Monday night games again. Eagles at Bucks.
Well, I don't think the Eagles are back in fine shape yet.
Jalen Hurts looks hurt. He does not look like himself. I'm not sure what's going on there because I don't think he has an injury designation, but he does not look like himself. I'm taking the Eagles still.
I am too.
You are too? All right. Last Monday night game, Rams at Bengals. And I think, are they? Oh, I thought they were both 1-1, but Bengals are 0-2.
Yeah, they're really, Burrow hurt that calf muscle, and I think it's worse than they were putting on, but I'll go with the Rams just for that reason.
Who hurt the calf? The quarterback, Goff?
Yeah. No, the Bengals. Goff. No, not Goff. That's for the Rams.
That's for the Lions now.
Burrow.
Burrow hurt his calf?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. I'm still taking the Bengals. I think the Bengals get their first win of the season here.
All right.
So we differ on 1, 2, 3, 4 of them.
Dang. I'll be ahead by 5.
Yeah. Well, we'll see about that. All righty. Well, like I said when we did the episode last week, all offseason I was telling people who kind of were acting, because we live in Minnesota, surrounded by Viking fans, they were all acting like, oh, you must be really dreading this season. And I kept saying, I'm actually looking more forward to it than I have for a few years now. I have been enjoying it. It's new. It feels fresh when it feels like we've been wearing the same shirt every time for a couple of years now, same outfit. It's nice to wear something just a little new out there, a little bit younger.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it happens. With after a while, you just kind of like, okay, we need to move on, you know. And Aaron wasn't the same Aaron that, you know, in just a couple of years ago. I mean, you can see he's not able to do the amazing things all the time like he used to.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice to see Jordan do a nice scramble. He ran good, just needs to get the heck out of bounds instead of running into people.
Mm-hmm. He did try to just run through that guy.
It's like, what are you thinking?
It's like, I get it. You're young. You see that with young players, but we want you around for 12 years? We like to keep quarterbacks.
Yeah, right. 12, 15 years. Yeah.
So let's go out of bounds.
So Yeah, it's now we start getting into the next two games, I think, really tight and kind of show you what you got.
Yeah.
You've got some games under you and you're back in the swing. So.
Mm-hmm. And we have now learned that not every opponent can be the Bears in week one, unfortunately. But I'm having fun. You having fun?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, both of us were looking forward to this. Excuse mm-hmm. me. Oh, my gosh. between my leftover COVID symptoms and the allergies, it's just like constant. It'll be fun. It'll be fun.
All right. We love all of you, our listeners. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Yeah.
I hope you're enjoying the Packers season, young Packers season, as much as we are. And like us, or not like us, but join the group on Facebook. Join the discussion. Rate us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And we're glad to have you here with us for our season number
9. When Sean finally turned legal to drink.
That was our first season?
Yep.
That feels weird.
Yeah. You remember we used to go, what are you drinking?
Yeah. And then it turned into, oh, you're drinking water again, huh? Yeah. But yeah.
Good for you.
It's been fun. And we're going to be back next week to talk about a big win for the Packers over the Saints. All I could think of was Lions again. I keep thinking we're playing the Lions. So Packers over Saints, noon game, if you're in Central Time. And we'll see you next week.
Until next week, go
Pack
go!
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack, go!